Lawhorn, and I requested a song that he sang Tuesday night, and the first time I heard him sing it was on a preaching tape, and he sang it before he preached. And through the years, I've gone to preach for him, been around him, and I love Brother Lawhorn. First time I went to his church, I'm telling you, we weren't a couple of songs in. He stopped everything. He said, "Hold on." He said, "Okay, something's in the way." He said, "We're not there. Something's in the way." I was sitting there thinking, "Something's in the way." Man, we've been having church. His church that he built, Bedford, Virginia, they knew how to have church. They knew how to love God, how to worship, how to pour themselves into it. And he loves that church. And I appreciate Brother Lawhorn being here. He preached here already at Heritage and blessed us so greatly. He'll be preaching tonight and again in the morning. And we want Brother Lawhorn to take his liberty. Preach to us the word of God. Amen. Let's give God praise as Brother Lawhorn comes to preach.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. When you feel that life is through, I wrote this little song to tell you that God has more. When you feel that life is done, just remember it has just begun, because God, He always has more. Yeah, God has more for you. He's got a work to do. He has a plan unfulfilled. The time is yet to come. His will, it will be done, because God, He always has more. At times you think that all is lost. You sit down and you count the cost and say, God, how much more? Through the trial, through the pain, God has much more for you to gain, because God, He always has more. Oh, if you believe it, help me sing it. God has more, more, more for you, yeah. He's got a work to do. He has a plan unfulfilled. Oh, the time is yet to come. His will be done. God, has more. Oh, if you believe it, lift your hands to Him. Oh, He's got a work to do. He has a plan. Oh, unfulfilled. Yeah, the time is yet to come. His will be done, because God, He always has more. Glory, 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 that everything that has breath, Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. We want to say thank you, and so many things, so many good things going on and happening. Appreciate, of course, the hospitality and the good food and the great leadership. Bishop Johnson, Brother Burgess, their wives, and both of them has blessed us in Bedford, Virginia. And thankful to be connected with them and glad to be part of this meeting. Not necessarily this part, but I'm glad to be here. I feel like I'm among giants of the faith. I feel like that if you could just take a little capsule of a moment, and some of us older ones can, sometimes a song is sung and something is said and it kind of takes you back in time about 20 years, and all of a sudden you see a whole setting. And that's what's happening to all of you young people tonight. There's something happening in you that you don't realize. But as time goes on and some of the faces that are here fade from the scene, there will be something that's encapsulated in your spirit and in your mind. And you'll hear something, you'll say, oh, that reminds me of Heritage 2017. Or whatever year. And so I thank God for the memories. I am blessed because I was raised in the house of the Lord. Taken church, I imagine, within the first week of my birth, and I've never known anything else. Don't want to know anything else. I can learn some things by looking at other people. I don't have to do everything to figure out. It's praise God. I'm glad for the testimony of being raised in church. I'm glad for everybody that made it from the world, but I'm glad there's some that make it in church and never taste anything else. Amen. And I tell you what, the preaching from last night, Brother Garrett set in motion what I feel like the Holy Ghost has been, the threads of the Spirit have been working through every message and everything that's been said. It's not unusual. It usually happens that way in meetings. And you wonder what to say. And then you just put your little log on the fire, and the fire gets a little bigger. And hopefully we can do that tonight. And by tomorrow night, Brother Phil White, Lord have mercy, it's going to be rapturous. Don't even know if we can take it by then. But I do feel like that I prayed and sought the Lord and asked God to help us. I want to be a blessing. Thank you for the invitation, and God bless you. 1 Samuel, the 4th chapter. And my wife couldn't be with me this year, but my daughter Daisy is with me, and thank God for my family. Amen. You got family in the church, you're doubly blessed. Amen. Now, I don't have no family that's not in the church. Praise God. I say, not in the church, you're not my family. Praise God. They're not your real family, you know. This is the real family. Amen. So, 1 Samuel, thank you. All the preaching, all the way through today, Brother Jones and Brother White, Lord have mercy. I felt the call going out in this place in every service. It's still here. Amen. I forgot my glasses. I done got over 50. I need my glasses, Grandpa needs your glasses, I guess. 1 Samuel 4 and 21. 1 Samuel 4 and 21. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." Acts chapter 2. I've wrestled with this just a little bit, maybe more than normal. I don't necessarily feel like that everything I'm going to say is maybe fitting. I know we've got the best of the best here. But it's already been said that we are preaching to a spirit in this generation. And we'd be foolish to think that we're not affected. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled. Everybody say that with me. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen, amen. Verse 42 said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Amen. Let's lift our hands to God and ask the Lord to put the word in our hearts tonight. Lord, I want you to do your work here tonight. God, do your work. In the name of Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, mighty God. Oh, lift up your voice. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory, 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 glory. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to preach for a few minutes tonight from the thought Ichabod or Pentecost. Ichabod or Pentecost. The Bible said that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there was, you can't make Pentecost happen. You have to let it happen. And if I can create something, then it's man-made. If I can create it, it's man-made. I want to plea in the spirit here tonight for every person, not just to the youth, but if you'd allow me to say every preacher, every mama, every daddy, I would like for us to all leave here, including me. Amen. In fact, put me on top of the list. I'd like for every one of us to experience a personal Pentecost. It seemed like as I was talking to God that God was saying from these scriptures, is the glory departing? Or is it descending? Is God moving in? or is he moving out? I pray that we all know the difference. What are we giving birth to? An Ichabod or a real move of the Holy Ghost of Pentecost? Our churches, our preachers, us personally, I pray that God would somehow or another move a wave of glory in this house today. We have heard of the moves of God. I have heard of missionaries and heard of great moves, places where the Spirit of the Lord just moved across the congregation, and there was actually, it started in one place and they laid down. I'm not talking about some fake phony. Talking about something that you could see blow the wind of the Holy Ghost. The sacred, awesome move of the Holy Ghost. I pray that God would stir a hunger in our hearts. Somebody say, is the days of 100 souls revival, is it over? And my answer is yes, unless somebody gets hungry for it. Amen. And I'm here to stir a hunger in our heart for something more than a shout and for something more than a feel good. Oh, hallelujah. Need more than just feel good, church. We've got to be more than average apostolic. Average apostolic, if you're average, that means you're as close to the top as you are the bottom. The reason marriages are falling apart is because of a lack of spiritual personal flow of Pentecost. The reason preachers even backslide is because of a lack of a personal Pentecost. The reason we find ourselves dry and carnal and can tell a little something off color is because of a lack of a spiritual Pentecostal flow. I was hearing confirmation through all the preaching, and I was waiting this afternoon in the back right at the end of the service, and Brother Burgess got up and he said something about come back tonight for a breakthrough. And I said, okay, that's it. Amen. We're looking for what Brother Burgess said. We're looking for a personal breakthrough. A lot of folks want to see somebody else get a touch. But the scripture said, and it sat upon each of them. There's enough Holy Ghost to go around for everybody. No matter how powerful your preacher is or how good your parents are, you've got to have a personal Pentecost experience. More than just a little stammering of the lips. I never felt like that God called me to give people the Holy Ghost. I still feel like the real Holy Ghost, you don't have to bob them on the chin and shake them and roll them around. There's something about the real Holy Ghost that comes down and it'll set down on us, and something begins to move around inside. I'd like to ask you a question. Let's put the thermometer in the mouth of every person here tonight. Praise God. Too much dry-eyed Pentecost. How about especially you young men? Have you cried this week? Has any of you been in here in all these three powerful services and nothing has come down your face? I'm not asking for a hand show. This will let you know a little bit about your spiritual temperature and where you're at with God.
Number one, can you cry? Can you cry? Somebody say, well, I'm a man, I don't cry. Holy Ghost men cry. Real men cry. And if you can't cry when the Holy Ghost is moving, there's something out of alignment in your spirit. I'm not a crier by nature, so I sure like it when it comes. I've been feeling a little too dry myself, so I want some myself here tonight. In the name of the Lord. Oh, I'm feeling hungry for it. I'd like to get in a corner somewhere under a chair and just boo-hoo a while and let God rearrange a bunch of stuff on the inside and fix everything that needs to be fixed. Can you cry? Number one. Number two, do you love to pray? I didn't ask, did you pray, but do you love to pray? That'll tell you something about your walk with God. Do you look forward to prayer time every day? And the third one is, can you forgive easily? Is it hard to be offended? In fact, if you really love the law, it is impossible to be offended. Nothing shall offend them. Man, I've never seen all the crazy stuff I've seen in the world. I've never seen, and in the church, I've never seen anything that made me want to leave. I'm just going to stay in the church and God will work it out. God will work it out. Oh, my, my, my. I want Jesus to put his arms around some of us tonight. All of us. And squeeze me. Squeeze me, Jesus, until something breaks on the inside. I want to feel that tender hand. And put your hand on my heart, because it's been too long since I wept between the porch and the altar, saying, spare thy people, O God, and give not thine heritage to a reproach. For too many, it's been too long since we was lost in the Holy Ghost. I hope everybody even knows what I'm talking about. Being lost in the Holy Ghost. Carried home late hours of the night. Still talking in tongues. Amen. Out for hours and not knowing where you're at. We've got too much plastic Pentecost. And plastic plants don't reproduce. You got to be real to reproduce. Modern Pentecost is so impressed. They're so impressed with their talent and their performance and their speaking abilities that they've not even noticed that the glory is lifting. Not even noticed that God is leaving out. Israel had lost 4,000 men. And they said, we need to, what's wrong? Why is this defeat? We've got to go fetch the ark. And the Bible said when they brought the ark in, that they shouted so much that the earth rang. I mean, they shouted the place in a tizzy. And a great shout. But Israel went out to battle and they was defeated again. And this time they lost 30,000 footmen. And the ark was taken. Israel was in trouble because they had the ark. What they thought would give them the victory. But there was something more to having victory than just feeling the presence of the Lord. The devil don't mind you being Pentecostal as long as you are a defeated one. The devil don't mind you shouting as long as you don't get victory over sin. Oh! Israel was not only in trouble, modern Pentecost is in trouble. In trouble with God. It takes more than the ark. It takes more than just feeling God. It takes more than just a shout. It takes more than a noise. There's a lot of dysfunction in Pentecost. We'll call it Ichabod Pentecost just for a little bit. Don't know the difference. They didn't know the difference between symbol and substance. They had the symbol, but they didn't have the substance. They thought the ark would give them the victory. It takes more than just a feel-good religion. You can go in a lot of arenas and feel a lot of energy. You can hear the Star Spangled Banner and feel goosebumps. I had one of the performers at Nashville tell me, I never experienced anything like I did when I was at Fort Bragg performing to 150,000 military people. And he said, and they was all screaming and hollering, I'm glad to be an American. He said, I never felt anything like that. And I thought, oh my, I'd like to introduce you to Pentecost. Because there's something more. Oh, there was energy and there was goosebumps and there was all kind of feeling. But it wasn't Pentecost. There ain't nothing like Pentecost, and God help us not to mistake it. We got to have more than just the symbols of Pentecost. Thank God for our ladies' uncut hair. Thank God for the dresses that's well below the knee. Thank God for clean-shaven men and no jewelry. But all that's symbols. You got to have more than a symbol. There's got to be something moving on the inside. And I pray that somebody gets hungry and said, I've been raised in church and I keep all the rules and I've got the symbols, but I need something on the inside because I feel like I'm losing the battle. If you would be honest, there's days that you feel like you're losing the battle against the onslaught of hell and sin. And nothing short of an old-time fashioned move of the Holy Ghost on a personal level is going to get the job done. How long has it been since you've been to the church and prayed when nobody else was there? God bless the memory of Mary Burr. He said a rapture qualification. A rapture qualification is the ability to create worship when you're all alone. Can you create what we have here at Heritage when it's just you and Jesus in the dark, when ain't nobody else at church, when you just in your bedroom and put on a song, hallelujah, pull the shades and say, it's some time for me and God. I gotta have a personal hookup. This Pentecost is not just corporate, it's personal. It's not just for when we come together, it's personal. And God wants to make himself real. It's sad to say, but it is very possible to be raised in church and not know God. It's not only possible, it's very probable. for those to be raised in church and not really know God. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want no Pentecostal cheerleaders. God, teach us the art of wooing the Spirit and waiting on the Lord and giving Him something that attracts. I want something that attracts the presence of the Lord. Them after services. How many of you ever know what after services is? That's what they used to say in the after services. All after all the doubters and all the folks was in their hair to go home, went home. And then the Holy Ghost broke out again. That's when a lot of people get the Holy Ghost, is in after services. Thank God for music. I got some. I hope you buy it. Praise God. But music cannot produce Pentecost. It accompanies it, but it doesn't produce it. If preaching and praying and fasting is not in the DNA of the move, then it is not real. Oh, let the fullness of the Holy Ghost come on us here tonight. We got the ark, we got the shout, we got the noise. Most of Pentecost has the hype. Oh, they like that. We're pumped. Man, we're pumped. But they don't have no victory in the battle. Still smitten down by the enemy. Something still needs to be fixed. Any move of God without repentance is strange fire. Thank you, Brother White. Worship yields and bends to the will of God. Worship is when something moves on the inside. Worship is when my heart begins to dance. It's easier to get my feet to move than it is to get my heart to dance. But if I could get my heart dancing, everything else is going to be all right. I don't want my worship just to be from my lips and my heart somewhere else. But I want my heart to match my lips and say, I'm in this all the way. Glory, glory. Oh, wave your hands to Him a little bit. Glory, glory, glory. Lord, we're asking You for a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost tonight. We can't produce it. You're going to have to bring it. And I believe there's somebody down here that's hungry for it and reaching for it. And if you'd just begin to let it move, God, we'd be so thankful. But music can't do it. Oh! Oh, in the name of Jesus. What's wrong? We got the ark, we got the shout, but we're still defeated. They couldn't figure it out till they got the preacher. No Samuel come on the scene. Oh, the Philistines didn't keep the ark too long because they figured out they couldn't keep the ark and their God too. So when they figured out they couldn't keep the ark and their God, they was willing to sacrifice the ark. You can't have the real thing and your gods too. Samuel said, you got to return to the Lord with all of your heart. You got to put away them strange gods. You got to prepare your hearts and serve Him only, Samuel said. And the Bible said, and Samuel judged Israel. You're not going to get very far until you let a preacher and a prophet and a pastor put his hand on you and judge you. else wants a preacher, but no, too many of them want a judge. We heard a judge in here last night. How many is thankful for the judgment? Samuel judged Israel, offered sacrifice. Samuel cried unto the Lord, and the Lord thundered with a great thunder, and the Philistines were smitten before Israel. The ark didn't do it. The shout didn't do it. But their obedience, thank you, Brother Garrett, their obedience and their consecration did. Putting away the strange gods did. Praise God. Wonder how much victory we would have by tomorrow night if nobody touched their phones from now till then. Praise God. Ichabod has no mama. No daddy, no pastor, no direction. That is the DNA of the charismatic movement. And much of the oneness movement today is birthing an Ichabod. We've lost it, and the glory is departing when we have learned to shout over sin. Oh, I went out and committed fornication, but I can come back in and just feel real good and get to shouting real good. And we've lost it when we know how to make Pentecostal noise and live after the lust of the flesh. When we've lost it when we can come to church high on drugs and mix the highs. And get in there and do some kind of sloppy dancing. Amen. When you can match. We've lost it when you can watch porn and have sexual encounters and continue on as nothing happened. You're on a fast track to being reprobate. You think you're saved because you feel God. You think you're saved because you're still in the house. You think you're saved because we hear the word. And you pray a little prayer and you shout a little dance, but something inside doesn't ever get scraped clean. See, real Pentecost is more than excitement. It's more than juke and jive. It is something gets on the inside and it scrapes the walls of our soul. It is a desire for purity. A desire to be pure before God. That's what real Pentecost is. If you don't have a desire to be pure and stay pure, you need a fresh anointing and baptism of the Holy Ghost. You got to repent. Sanctify yourself. Be clean. Put away the strange gods. We've lost it when we can enjoy shouting it out more than preaching it out. What kind of a statement is that? We really had good church. We didn't even have preaching. Praise the Lord. Oh, if you're not careful, we're birthing an Ichabod mentality. The DNA of real, genuine Pentecost is praying. And that other word, fasting. Does every person have a daily, a weekly, a daily prayer life and a weekly fast life? You ought to put it in practice when you're young to fast at least one day a week. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. If the move has not been birthed, and your shout and all that is going on, if it's not been birthed by prayer and fasting and preaching, it's not been proven. And if it's not been proven, it can't be trusted. That's why you see people come in many times, visitors, and they come in and they love the music, they love the singing, they love the shout, and they all get all with it and you never see them again. Because they're connecting on a shallow level. God have mercy that our youth that is raised in church don't learn to connect on a shallow level. And just say, I'm Pentecostal by name. The name of Jesus. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. We've repented. We consecrated last night. We heeded the call. I really feel like it's time that we just go a little bit further. I felt like the Lord speaking to me about to let us rise above the deficiencies of Pentecost. And there is a move of God in these altar services. But there's another level beyond what we've experienced. There's a level that there's a lifting. There's not just a crying and consecration, but there is another level that when everything is clean, that there's something that comes down and joy begins to explode. And somebody over here begins to, and somebody over here sporadic, not just doing it because everybody else is doing it, but all of a sudden somebody feels something breaking loose. And all of a sudden somebody over here says, I feel something and I can't contain it no longer. Something that causes you to stand up when ain't nobody else standing up. No! And the Bible said that the Holy Ghost came and it came suddenly. I mean, they was just been standing there waiting for 10 days and all of a sudden it was time and it just started happening. It just started happening. Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah. And it filled the house. And it filled the house. And they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit. Amen. Some folks that are raised in church, they sometimes don't get that experience and they really feel comfortable. You know, I was 8 or 6 when I got the Holy Ghost and I'm not sure if I really got it. And then the world starts bombarding your head and the devil starts telling you don't have it. And you say, I don't know if I did. I'm just going to tell you, there's an experience that you can have in this meeting that can settle it. It can settle it. You won't have, there's something that you can get in God that the devil can't make you doubt it. Because I know too much about it. Oh, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promises to you and your children and all them that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. As many as were baptized, as many as gladly received the word were baptized. Thank God for your response to the word this week. But Acts 2:38 would be of no value if it wasn't for verse 42. And they continued. And I'm here to say tonight, let Pentecost continue. His truth endures to all generations. It's been brought to you. Is it going to continue? It's been brought by the elders to you. Is it going to continue in your generation? A few days and we'll be gone. A few decades and we'll be gone. Is it going to continue? Is somebody going to know what the real Holy Ghost is? Or is it just going to turn into a big bunch of charismatic gibberish? And people that don't know how to consecrate and live right and get the genuine touch of God. Let Pentecost continue. All right. I'm contending for every one of you tonight to get a real Pentecost. But if statistics hold true, and I'm here to defy statistics, but if statistics hold true, there's somebody in here birthing Ichabod. But somebody right beside of you can be birthing a real Pentecost. One, two. Which way is it going to be? An Ichabod or a Pentecost? Is it going to be Ichabod or Pentecost? Which is it going to be? It's going to be one or the other. There's no middle ground in this generation. It's going to be Ichabod or Pentecost. I've got to get down to business and get the real deal. I can't play around. Oh! There is a real Pentecost. I'm about done. Oh, 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 I feel it. I feel it moving. Is somebody going to let it move in the back? Are y'all going to let it move in the back? Are you going to let Pentecost move? But what we need is Pentecost. We're going to hear a bunch more preaching, but what we need is a Pentecost. All the preaching in the world won't save you if you don't get a real Pentecost. In the name of Jesus. I'm looking for it. I'm looking for that lifting. Some of you still just looking. I can't produce it. Oh no. Oh. 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 Yeah, yeah, yeah. Devil is alive. We've consecrated, we've sanctified, we've repented. Let Holy Ghost come. Let Holy Ghost come. Let Pentecost continue. Let Pentecost continue. Whew. Let something go the top of your head to the sole of your feet. I just don't want to be a pretty Pentecostal. I want it in my DNA. Oh, you preachers and parents will help me. I believe God. I believe in God for something to break through here tonight on Sunday. Oh, you just need Pentecost. I don't know if I can make it. Oh, yes, you can. You need Pentecost. I don't know. Yeah, you can make it. You just need a fresh Pentecost. Oh, you don't understand, preacher. There's so much against me. No, you don't understand what's for you. If God be for you. Personal Pentecost can take you through hell. It can take you through anything. Oh, everybody obey God. Everybody obey God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost operate. The Holy Ghost operate. The Holy Ghost operate. The Holy Ghost operate. Let the Holy Ghost operate. Let the Holy Ghost operate. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And suddenly, and suddenly, and suddenly, and suddenly, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. And suddenly there came, And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house. It filled all the house. Oh, that's it. Go ahead. Somebody's letting him work. Somebody's going to get a breakthrough. Somebody's going to get a breakthrough. Somebody's going to touch something in God that you've never had before. Oh, somebody's going deeper. Somebody's reaching higher. Oh, let Pentecost flow. Let the spiritual rivers flow in this house. Let it flow in the house. Let it flow in this house. Flow in this house. Oh, let that glory cloud fill this house. Let the glory fill this house. Let there not be any dry eyes. Let there be no dry eyes. Squeeze me, Jesus. Oh, let my heart find you. My heart reach for you. The name of the Lord, the name of the Lord, and the name of the Lord.